Okay, today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Lamed Gimel. We're finishing up Bava Metzias today, God willing. We are in the middle of the sugya of Tzar Balei Chaim. So the Gemara was still trying to bring proofs back and forth. Is Tzar Balei Chaim Daraisa? Is Tzar Balei Chaim only Drabanan? We discussed yesterday the Gemara never tries to bring a source for Tzar Balei Chaim, just tries to prove whether it's Daraisa or Drabanan. So we were up to the fifth proof, which is the last word on the fourth wide line of daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Tashema. So I think that's what we're up to. Last word on the fourth wide line on Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Tashema, behemas ovid kochavim masu Yisrael v'chadalta. That in a situation where the behema belongs to an ovid kochavim, but the burden on the behema's back belongs to a Jew, so that's when we apply v'chadalta. Meaning the Torah has an unusual phrase when it tells us about the chiyuv to help out the animal. The Torah says kisira chamar sonacha rovetz tachas maso. When you see the donkey of your enemy, which is also interesting, we'll get to that as well, who is buckling under its burden, so it's lying down under the weight of its burden. V'chadalta me'azov lo, azov tazov imo. Now, v'chadalta me'azov lo means you should refrain from helping him. So the way we normally read it is, v'chadalta me'azov lo. What, you're going to refrain from helping him? Azov tazov imo. No, you should go and help him. But what's that phrase doing there? So the Gemara understands that it's telling us that there are certain situations where, yeah, you could refrain from helping him. It's not necessary to help him. So if the behema belongs to Novid Kochavim and the burden on its back belongs to Yisrael, v'chadalta, you can refrain from helping. V'yamr Tzar Balei Chaim Daraisa, amai v'chadalta. But if you hold Tzar Balei Chaim is Daraisa, then why should you be allowed to refrain from helping him? It's Tzar Balei Chaim, the Nebuch, the animal, is suffering. Azov tazov mi bayalei. You should have to help out. So answers the Gemara, li'olam Tzar Balei Chaim Daraisa. Really, Tzar Balei Chaim is Daraisa. Hasam b'ti'ina. But over there, it's not talking about unloading an animal. It's talking about loading an animal. That when it's a behema of Ovid Kochavim, and it needs to be loaded, so that's where we're going to say v'chadalta. You can refrain from helping out. Tosa says, couldn't there have been a better answer? Frak Tosa says, v'imtomar v'lishni, why don't we answer? B'chinam. Maybe when it says v'chadalta, it means you should refrain from helping for free. For Tzar Balei Chaim, you have to help, but can you charge for your services? Maybe that's what it's telling me. Don't help for free. Absolutely charge for your services. Uliyolim Tzar Balei Chaim Daraisa, but really Tzar Balei Chaim is Daraisa. V'yesh lomar, so Tosa answers, v'chadalta mashma legamri. V'chadalta makes it sound like you can refrain entirely. It doesn't make it sound like you're helping but charging. It makes it sound like you don't have to help at all. So anyway, so the Gemara had answered that really it's talking about loading the animal, not unloading. So in fact, the Gemara ihachi is talking about loading the animal. Ema seifa, if the seifa continues and says behemas Yisrael umasoy ovid kochavim, that if the case is the reverse, the animal belongs to the Jew and the burden on its back belongs to the non-Jew, azov tazov, then you should help. But if it's about loading the burden on the animal's back, why do you have to help in that situation when the burden belongs to the Ovid Kochavim? Why is it necessary to help out? So the Gemara answers, Mishum Tzar di Yisrael. You have to help out because the Jew wants you to help out, and it's going to cause him tzar if you don't help out. He's got to sit there till the animal gets loaded up. So Frak the Gemara, Yachi Afila Reishanami. Well, don't you have that same problem in the Reisha also? Isn't it causing tzar of the Yisrael who's probably driving the animal, who's riding the animal? Answers Gemara, no, Reisha Bechamar Ovid Kochav Mesefa Bechamar Yisrael. The case of the Reisha where the animal belonged to a non-Jew, the animal rider was also a non-Jew. The case of the Seifa, where the animal belonged to a Jew, the animal rider was a Jew. The chiyuv to help load the animal depends on who's riding the animal, because you don't want to upset the person who's riding the animal. So if the person riding the animal is a Jew, you have mitzvos ben adam l'chaveiro, so you have to help him out. If it's a non-Jew, you don't have to help him out. But frak the Gemara, my pesakta, how do you know that just because the animal belongs to a non-Jew in the Reisha, that the rider of the animal is a non-Jew, and in the Seifa, just because the animal belongs to a Jew, the rider is a Jew? Who told you that detail? Maybe it's the reverse, or maybe the Reisha and the Seifa are consistent in terms of who the rider is. The only thing that changes is whose animal it was and whose burden it was. So answers the Gemara, no. Stama de milse inish basar chamrei azil. Normally we assume that it's you get the person together with his animal. The man goes together with his animal. So if the animal belongs to a non-Jew, it's most likely a non-Jewish rider. It's a very nice word. You want to say that v'chadalta is only relating to ti'ina, but if you look at the pasuk, it's very clearly talking about prika. It's very clearly talking about unloading an animal. It's talking about a chamor that's rovetz tachas masa'o, that's buckling under the burden, obviously needs to be unloaded. So it's clearly not talking about an animal that needs to be loaded up. So how can you be metaretz that it's not an issue of tsar b'al chayim over here, because we're only talking about loading an animal? So isn't that therefore a raya, meaning by extension, isn't that therefore a raya that tsar b'al chayim is not d'oraisa? Because if it were d'oraisa, you should have to help unload even an animal that belongs to a non-Jew. So says the Gemara, Amalei Hamani Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi, Enochinami, you're right. And the author of this Mishnah must be Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Damar Tzar Bar Lechaim Lav D'Oraisa, who holds Tzar Bar Lechaim is not D'Oraisa. But that doesn't prove that we paskin Tzar Bar Lechaim is not D'Oraisa. That's still up in the air. So we bring a sixth Raya. Tashema, Oiv Lifrok Vesone Liton. If you have two people that need help, your good friend needs help to unload his animal, your enemy needs help to load up his animal. Mitzvah besone kedei lachov v'sitzro. It's a mitzvah to help your enemy first, in order that you should train yourself to overcome your yetzer hara. So you overcome your yetzer hara by helping out your enemy. But wait a second, what about the animal? V'yisal kedei tzar b'al chayim d'oraisa ha'adiflei. But if your whole tzar b'al chayim is d'oraisa, shouldn't the help to the ohev overpower the help to the sone? Because the situation is that the ohev's help will also be relieving the animal from tsar by unloading the animal. Whereas the sone, it's not going to be relieving the animal from any tsar. So shouldn't that tip the scales in favor of helping the ohev? Why would you help the sone in that situation? And it says the Gemara, yeah, filu hachi kidei lachof asitzro adif. Still, better to be kofef yetzer hara, better to overcome yetzer hara and train yourself to help out your sone rather than be interested in tsar b'al chayim. Now, with that, why is it better to be kofef than tsar b'al chayim is a mitzvah d'oraisa, possibly, or at least a mitzvah d'rabanan? So why is it better to, and assuming it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? That's what the Gemara is saying. Afilu hachi, even though it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, still it's better to be lachof v'sitzro. If it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, why is it better kedei lachof v'sitzro? So pashtus is that when we talk about tsar b'al chayim, so we've mentioned that tsar b'al chayim is only an issue when there's no human benefit. And the Buddha has a famous tshuva about hunting, whether it's mutter to go hunting. I actually had to pask in the shaila once. Someone asked me, they didn't want to go hunting, but they're taking a business trip to Texas and they had to meet with somebody, and you know, as part of the day that they were spending with this person in some real estate deal, the fellow in Texas wanted to take them hunting. And he wanted to know, is it mutter for a Jew to go hunting? So that was the shaila that was posed to the Noda B'Yehuda. And the Noda B'Yehuda says, well, let's go through the issues. And he discusses, is it tsar b'al chayim? He says, well, if you enjoy it and it's good sport, so then it's not tsar b'al chayim. Tsar b'al chayim is only when there's no human benefit whatsoever. So if it's for your enjoyment, then it wouldn't be called tsar b'al chayim. He happens to say you shouldn't do it anyway, because he says, you know, let's think of who our heroes are and think of who the hunters were in Tanakh. The only hunters we know of in Tanakh were Esav and Nimrod. You know, it's not the kind of activity that a Jew should be associated with. It's one of the few Mar Makomos we have in terms of that I was able to think of, until someone once asked me, about violent video games, things like that. Is there any Isser in violent video games? So is it Asr? But you know, there are certain activities that's probably best to stay out of, that we don't want to train ourselves in these types of activities. But again, whenever there's any human benefit, it's not going to be an issue of Tzar Ba'al Chayim. So over here, there is a human benefit. And Adrab, it's for the Midos. It's to develop the Midos of a person that's a significant human benefit. And therefore, it's not just that Kedei Lachof Yisro overpowers Tzar Ba'al Chayim. The definition of Tzar Ba'al Chayim means that when you have Kedei Lachof Yisro, it's no longer an Isser of Tzar Ba'al Chayim. You no longer have the problem of Tzar Ba'al Chayim to begin with, because of this human benefit of Kedei Lachof Yisro. Tosos over here raised an interesting point. And Kedei Lachof Yisro says Tosos, Vim Tomar, Kivin Deba Arvi Pesachim Mukla B'Yisrael Shem Motulis Anoso. The Gemara in Pesachim says, wait a second, you have a Sone? How are you allowed to have a Sone? You have to, V'Havta L'Recha Kamocha, you're not allowed to hate other people, you have to love other Jews. So how do you have a Sone? So the Gemara says, no, it must be talking about the type of Jew that it's mutter to hate. What type of Jew is it mutter to hate? Kigon Sherabo Dvar Erva, where you see that he does really bad things. So frak the Gemara, if that's the case, if the pasuk is talking about a situation where you see that it's a Jew who does terrible things and you're allowed to hate him, mashaich bo lakuf yitzro. Why would you have to overcome yitzer hara and try to do good things for him? You're allowed to hate him. It's a mitzvah sanoso. So answers Tosos Yeshlomer. Now we're not talking about when the Mishnah talks about the sone, we're not talking about the sone that the pasuk's talking about. When the pasuk says, you see, chamor sonacha, rovetz tachas masao, so the pasuk says, so that's v'chadalta me'azov, so that's talking about one type of sone. We're talking about a different kind of sone, someone who you just dislike, that perhaps you don't have the strongest heter to dislike the person. Okay, anyway, so says the Gemara Vayter, Raya number 7, Tashema, Sone Sha'amru Sone Yisrael V'lo Sone Avdechavim, that Sone that we're talking about, and we assume in the question, Rashi points out, that we're commenting on the Pasuk. When the Pasuk says that you see a Chamar Sonacha, Rovetz Tachas Masao, that Sone is only if he's a Jew, not if he's an Ovid Kuchavim. That's where the Torah says, even though he's a Sone, help him out anyway. Iyam Ritzarba Elchaim Doraisa, Mali Sone Yisrael, Mali Sone Avichavim. But if Tzarba Elchaim is Doraisa, why do I care about whether the Sone that the Pasuk is talking about is a Jew or a non-Jew? Either way, there's an issue of Tzarba Elchaim, so I should have to help him out anyway. It shouldn't make a difference. So Tosus points out again, have a Matsi Lishnuye Yisrael B'chinim Lovid Chav Mischar. Tosus points out what he said earlier, that or what he raised as a possibility earlier. Over here as well, we could have answered that the difference is that when it's a Yisrael, you have to do it for free. And that's why Sone, that the Pasuk is talking about a Sone Yisrael. If it were a Sone of the Chavim, you wouldn't have to do it for free. You would still have to do it for Tzarba Lechayim, but you'd be able to charge for your services. But anyway, the Gemara gives a different answer. Mi Savrit Asone de Krakai? No, when it says that the sone that we were referring to is a Jewish sone, it doesn't mean the sone the pasuk was referring to is a Jewish sone. Sone the pasuk is referring to could be anybody because we're worried about the animal. The sone the Mishnah is referring to is a Jewish sone. And when we talk about the idea of kedei lakuf es yitzro, that's only for a Jew to overcome yitzro hara, to hate the Jew. We want you to go and help him out. Raya number 8. Tashema. Rovetz velo ravtsan. If you see the animal is lying down under its burden, but velo ravtsan, it can't be an animal that always lies down under its burden. That's just the way it always goes. Rovetz velo ometachas masa. Also, it has to be an animal that's buckling. It's lying down because of the weight of the burden, not if it's standing up straight. And also, rovetz velo omed rather. Tachas masao, when we darshan, tachas masao, velo mefurak. Tachas masao means that it's lying under its burden, but it's not unloaded and just happens to be lying down after it's been unloaded and the issue is about loading it back up. Tachas masao, we also darshan, tachas masao, masoi shiyachalamad bo. It has to be a reasonable burden that the animal could theoretically stand under. So viyam tzar ba'al chaim doraisa, but if you know tzar ba'al chaim is doraisa, mali rovitz, mali ravtsan, mali omed. What do I care if the animal always lies down, is standing? What difference does it make? The animal's inside right now, it needs to be unloaded. You should have to go and help it out. So yeah, you have to assume that that's going like Rabbi Yosef Glili, but we're trying to figure out within everybody else's shita, meaning how do we paskin? It's Tzarba Elchaim Doraisa Drabanan. Hachinam Mistavrin, it's Mistavrin to assume that it's going within Rabbi Yosef Aglili, to Katani, because it says, Tachas Masao, Masoi Sheyachalamabo. They only have to help if it's a reasonably sized burden. Man Shamatei Disle Haisvaro, who's the one that holds that way? Rabbi Yosef Aglili. That's Rabbi Yosef Aglili shita, that it really depends on the size of the burden. Shema Mina, so therefore we see that it in fact goes like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Frankly, Gemara, mi matzus mukmal like Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Can you really say it's going like Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Vakatani Seifa, the Seifa goes ahead and says, Tachas Maso v'lo mefurak. That Tachas Maso, and not if the animal's already unloaded. My lo mefurak. What is lo mefurak teaching me? Ilem lo mefurak klal. If it's teaching me that if it's unloaded, you don't have to help at all to help load it back up. Haksif hakem takimimo. No, there's a pasuk that says that you do have to help load it back up if the animal is unloaded. El pshita must mean lo mefurak bechinam el beschar. That if it's mefurak, that if it's unloaded, to reload the animal, you don't need to do it for free. You only need to do it if the guy's going to pay you. So man shamatei disle hai svara rabbanan. Who tells us that svara? Who's the one that holds that shita? That to load an animal, you don't have to help out for free. You're allowed to charge money to load the animal. That's the shita of the rabbanan. So how can you tell me that this whole Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili? We know clearly that that line in the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan. So it says, well, the only Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he, ubiti'ina, sarva like Rabbanan. That really it's going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Mishnah is assuming like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, sarva lechayim, is the Rabbanan. It's assuming like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds masoy shiyach olamod bo, that it's only when it's a reasonable burden. But Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds like the Rabbanan in regards to loading the animal up. That loading the animal up only has to be done for free if, it does not have to be done for free. Loading the animal up only has to be done if you're going to get paid. Tan Rabbanan, Kisira Yachla Filu Merachal. Pasuk says, when you see the animal of your friend, right, Kisira Cham, or the animal of your enemy, rather, Kisira Chamar Sonacha Rovet Stachas Masav, Chadalta Meazovlo, Azov Tazovimo. What's the Kisira? I might think even if you see it from very far away, you have to travel to be able to get there in order to help the animal out. Tamalomar Kisifka. That's why the Pasuk says, Kisifka shar oivcha o chamaro toa hashev tishivenelo. It has a lashon by Hashavas Aved of Kisifka if you happen to run into it. E Kisifka yachal pigia mamish. If it's Kisifka, I would think you'd have to literally happen to run into it. But if you see it from, a couple of feet away, then you wouldn't have to help. Tamalomer Kisira. That's why it says Kisira, even if you see it. Vezu hi ri'ia sheish pa pigia. When do you have both? Ri'ia and pigia. You see it and you happen to meet it. Shiru chacham mechon mishavo mechza b'mil. So the chachamim determined that that's 1/7 1/2 of a meal. It's not 1/7, not 1/8, somewhere in between. 1/7.5 of a meal. Vizahu ris, and that's called a ris. So if you're within that distance, that's when you have to go help out, both by Hashavas Aveda as well as by helping the animal. And when you're further, you don't have to go help out. But Tana, we learned, once you do help out, umedadi imo ad parsa, if you help load the animal up, you have to walk with the animal up until the parsa to make sure that it's steady and that the burden is staying on the animal and that it doesn't fall off. So Amar Rabba Bar Barchana v'notel schar. But for doing that, for going with it until the parsa, lest the burden fall off, for that you can take money for. You can take money for that walk. Says Tosos v'notel schar b'masha medada u'beprika mayri sheyari penyirvatz di'ibiti ina.
He says, which walk are we saying that you're allowed to take schar for? After unloading the animal or after loading the animal?
So he says, we're talking about the walk, ubeprika mairi, that the walk that you have after unloading the animal, that you're afraid it's going to, the animal's going to buckle. Di'ibiti, because it's still weak from the burden. But if we're talking about loading the animal, of course, you can get schar for the walk, because for the very ti'ina itself, you can get schar. For sure, for the walk that secures the animal afterwards, you can get schar. Even for the actual act of loading, which the Torah talks about explicitly, that you have to do, even for that, you're allowed to get schar. So, of course, that which you do out of the goodness of your heart to walk with it afterwards, that for sure you should be able to get schar for, you should be able to get paid for. Okay, new Mishnah. Avedas of Avedas Aviv. If a person has two avedos to take care of, he has his own aveda and his father's aveda, that he could take care of one of them. So which one comes first? Avedaso kodemus. He takes care of his own aveda first. The Gemara will dash him from the pasuk why that's so. Avedaso avedas rabo shelo kodem. And again, if it's his aveda or his rebbe's aveda, his own aveda comes before his rebbe's aveda. Avedas aviv avedas rabo shel rabo kodemus. But if he has his aveda and his rebbe's aveda, then his father's aveda rather, and his rebbe's aveda, then his rebbe's aveda comes first. Why rebbe before the father? Because his father brought him into this world, but the Rebbe is melamin mechachma, teaches him chachma, brings him into olam haba. Now, v'imaviv chacham shalaviv kodemus. But if his father happens to be a chacham, so then his father's aveda comes first, because if his father's a chacham, so pashtus, his father brought him to olam haba as well. His father probably taught him chachma as well, right? The gra has a girsa that shakel neged rabo. If the aviv is a chacham shakel neged rabo, then aviv kodemus, which is interesting. Why would he have to be shakel neged rabo? I mean, I would think as long as he's mevil olam haba, that would be good enough. That would put him on par. Makes it sound like it's not about the fact that his father brings him to Olam Haba, it's about the fact that he has a double chiyuv kavod for his father. He has a chiyuv of kibud av and a chiyuv of kibud rav. And how strong does the chiyuv of kibud rav have to be? Kibud tamal chacham, it has to be strong enough that the father is
as good a Talmud Chacham as the Rebbe is. Meaning it makes it sound like even if the father did not teach him Torah, but the father is a Talmud Chacham, you would have to help him out. But you'd have to help him out instead of the Rebbe. Now Tosos over here points out that there's the ultimate quagmire over here. If you can come up with the following case. Frek Tosos, Vim Tomar, Avedaso Vavedas Rabo V'kavod Aviv Ezehu Kodem. What comes first if you have your own Aveda, your Rebbe's Aveda, and the kavod of your father? Now, why is that a problem? Because it's circular. I Avedaso, if you're going to take your Aveda first, halo kavod Aviv Adif, the kavod of your father beats out your own Aveda. Right, when it's Avedaso and Avedas Aviv, so your Aveda beats out the Aveda of your father. But if it's Avedaso and Kavod Aviv, the Kavod of your father beats out your own Aveda. L'man yam parakam de Kiddushin Mishal Ben, if you assume like the Shita in Kiddushin, that the Kibur Av is Mishal Ben, that the expense of Kibur Av has to come out of the son's pocket. So over here, if the father wants the Kavod, then you're going to have to give up fetching an Aveda of your own in order to be Mechabed your father. If you hold Mishal Ben, that's what you got to do. But vim kavod aviv halo avedas rabo kodemes. When it comes to kavod aviv versus avedas rabo, the avedas rabo wins. Kedam alel ani Hashem, like we said earlier, so that avedas rabo beats out kavod aviv. So what do you do first? And so what are you going to say? So do avedas rabo, but avedaso comes before avedas rabo. So it keeps going in circles. So it's the ultimate quagmire. So it says Tosos v'yishlomer avedaso kodemes. In that case, just take your own aveda. Why? Dehech da aviv nena miguf habehem. He says one thing where you have to pay for, when do we say Kibbut Av comes from Mishal Ben? It's when your expense is going to pay for that which is actually giving him kavod. But over here, you're not paying for his food. You're not paying for something that's going to give. That's not the expense over here. The expense is you're giving up on something that already belongs to you so that you can give him kavod somewhere else. So for that, we're not going to say that it's Mishal Ben. For that, you can go and you can take care of your own Aveda. Says the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do we know that, we're still in the Mishnah. Haya Aviv v'Rabo Nosin Masoi, if your father and Rebbe are both carrying a burden, Maniach HaShal Rabo V'Archakach Maniach HaShal Av, first help the Rebbe unload it, then help the father unload it. Haya Aviv v'Rabo Beis HaShevi, Podes Rabo V'Archakach Podes Aviv, if both father and Rebbe are in jail, they're both captured, so you should first redeem the Rebbe from captivity, and then redeem the father from captivity. But if the father's a chacham, take care of the father and then you take care of the Rebbe. The Rashash has a very interesting diuk over here. Rashash writes that we keep saying you go with the Rebbe and then the father, both by the burden that the Rebbe and the father are holding, or if they're in jail, etc. Says Rashash, nearly mitkamer bahani v'acharkach v'lokamer stam kodem kibedine aveda la'el. Right, meaning previously when we're talking about Avedas Rabba and Avedas Aviv, so what do we say? We said Shal Rabba Kodemes. Right? Over here we say, not just Shal Rabba Kodemes, but first you do the Rebbe and then the father. Now, isn't that the same as Shal Rabba Kodemes? Why do we change the Lashon right in the middle of the Mishnah? Fantastic deal. It's so clear. The Mishnah just jumps right in the middle and changes the Lashon, what seems to be the same thing. So obviously that's an indication that the two halachas are not the same. They're telling me different things. So what are they telling me? So says the Rashash, Lashmi inon didavka b'sheyesh shuhus laniach shal shneim, v'chein b'sipik b'yadol liftol shneim, hu derabu kodem. That which we say that you're going to redeem your Rebbe from captivity first, you're going to unload your Rebbe's burden first, that's only if you think you're going to really be able to do both. You're going to be able to take care of your Rebbe and your father. Then who comes first? Your Rebbe comes first. Avalim ein shuhus ve'ein sipuk aviv kodem. But if you're not going to have time, or you're not going to have the money, you're not going to have the ability to redeem both of them, to redeem both your father and your Rebbe, then your father's going to come first. And as opposed to by Aveda, where even if you're only able to do one of them, the Rebbe comes first. That's why it's just Rabo Kademus by Aveda, because the Rebbe is all you have to worry about. He comes first no matter what. Whereas by these other cases of unloading the burden on his back and getting him out of jail, the Rebbe only comes first if you're also going to be able to help your father. Why? He says, V'tamachil kupashut. V'chiyos b'magin avram simtafresh peidalat sivkat in beis, v'umayatos b'shabes, Then he quotes Shai Sari Chuba Yotes. The Adam Rabbi Yochum Brachas Halachim Spal Shal Mincha Vachach Shal Musaf. And he basically quotes a whole bunch of marmukamos that also relate to this idea that, for instance, when you have tadir v'sheinu tadir kodem, so I think that's what the Shagasari is talking about, assuming you test. When you have tadir v'sheinu tadir kodem. Tadir v'sheinu tadir kodem tells me that if you have two mitzvos, you're going to be able to do both of them, you're just not sure which one to do first. So that's where you have tadir v'sheinu tadir kodem. But if you have two mitzvos, then you're only going to be able to do one of them. You're not going to be able to do both of them, so then maybe you wouldn't say tadir v'sheinu tadir. Then maybe you would go with a daraisa over a drabanan, a makudash over an eino makudash, or something like that. A mitzvah veris over a mitzvah that's not a mitzvah veris. Something of that nature. Then you would go with other rules, perhaps. So here as well, when it comes to who you're going to show kavod to by letting them go first, by letting them cut the line, so then you show the Rebbe kavod. When it comes to dine mamon, it's fine. But when it comes to the tzara de gufa, then your family has to come first. When it comes to the tzara of the guf, then the father always has to come first, not first, but has to. If there's only going to be one of them, you have to give that to the father. If it's just a matter of kavod, of who gets out first, so then it goes to the Rebbe. But if it's a matter of tzara de guf, and only one of them is going to be able to be relieved from the suffering, then you go with the father. Okay, says the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do we know this is true, the first halacha of the Mishnah, that your Aveda comes before your Rebbe's Aveda, your own Aveda comes before your father's Aveda. So Amar Avidam Rav, Amar Kra, Efes ki lo yebucha evyon, shalucha kodem l'shal kal adam. The Torah warns us that you should try to make sure that there's no evyon, that there are no very poor people, meaning, don't become poor. And one of the ways you don't become poor is by not leaving your own Avedas all over the place. Make sure you pick up your own Aveda. But if a person is always makbid, then he shouldn't become poor, and is mekayim this halacha, so ultimately he's going to need it. It's not going to be good for him if he's mekayim ba'atzmo kach. That's what Rashi says. Afal pi shelo hitilu alav hakasuv, even though this isn't required on him, yesh ladam nikanis lefnim yishuras adin. Over here, it's appropriate to go lefnim yishuras adin. V'lo didaktik sheli kodem, and not to always say, oh, mine should come first. V'lo behefsid, unless there's a major loss involved. And if a person is not careful about this, always very medactic to try to make sure that he follows the letter of the law and not lefnim yishur sedin in this area, he's ultimately going to train himself not to be a bal chesed, and ultimately he's going to be mitzarech lebrios, which is interesting. The other place where we know that the Torah tells us, or that we darshan, that a person should not allow himself to become poor, is when the Gemara Ksuba says in Tafnun that that a person shouldn't spend more than 20% of his money on tzedakah, because shemayyani vitzarech lebrios. So we're afraid he's going to become poor and he's going to need help from other people. So by that rabbinic concern of Shem Yanvi Yitzarek Lebrios, the way the rabbis phrase that halacha is Al Yevazi Zilsim Yechomesh, don't spend more than 20%, you should not do it. Over here, the way it phrases it, the way the Gemara very clearly says, is not that you should not do it, really you should go beyond the letter of the law, even if it means you're risking yourself becoming poor, because the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, divine retribution, is going to see to it that if you're so careful about not making yourself poor, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it that you do become poor. So it's the chiluk though is obvious. When it comes to being mevazi zos mechomish, you're giving a substantial sum of your own money. Over here it's an aveda. So you have an aveda, your father has an aveda, it's a one-time thing. It's not a hanhaga of giving away much of your money. And even with the giving away the money, there are many posts that say that if a person is very rich, that an ashir muflag can give more than 20%. I heard of Shechter in Ashir recently. It was very unusual. He mentioned this halacha that if you're an ashir muflag, he said, I'm an Ashir Muflag, that's why I give way more than 20% of my money to... I don't think he's an Ashir Muflag, probably by most people's standards, but I guess he gives more than 20%, so he defines himself as an Ashir Muflag. Okay. Anyway, Hayaviv Rabbo Nosin Maso, if his father and Rebbe are both carrying a heavy burden. So Tanu Rabban, Rabbi Sham or Rabbi Shalom de Chachma, Velo Rabbi Shalom de Mikra, the kind of Rebbe that we're talking about, that you need to show this extra cover to even beyond the father, is a Rebbe who taught you Chachma, not a Rebbe who taught you Mikra Mishnah, Divrei Reb Meir. That's Reb Meir Shita. What's Chachma? Well, in comparison to Mikra Mishnah, Chachma must be Gemara, right? It must be an analysis of the sources. Rebbe Yehuda Amar Kol Sharov Chachma Soemenu. No, a Rebbe is only someone who's Rov Chachma Soemenu. Rabbeinu. Most of Yichachma comes from him. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilu Lo Heirein Avel B'Mishnacha Zehu Rabbo. Even if he only really taught you one Mishnah, he already has a din of a Rebbe. Amar Rava Kigon Rav Schora Da Azbran Zu Amel Listron. He says, yeah, like for me, you know who I would consider my Rebbe? Rav Schora. What did he explain to me? One Mishnah about Zu Amel Listron. There's a Mishnah, a difficult Mishnah, Mesachas Kelim, and I didn't understand what kind of kli it was describing, and he explained that it was describing a kli that's like a spoon that takes the froth off the top of a soup. That's the kind of kli that the Mishnah was talking about. So he explained to me how to teach that word. So to me, that's my Rebbe now. He taught me Mishnah Achas. Shmuel Karamane Aleya Humir Rabbanan. Shmuel Karmani Aleihum Rabbanan Da Azbrei Echad Yari Lamas Hashachi VeEchad Paseach Kevan. And Shmuel, in fact, tore Kriya for one of the Rabbanan who also taught him just one Mishnah, taught him the Pshat and the Mishnah about the two keys that were used to open up the Beis Hamikdash, and one of them was difficult to use. You had to reach really hard all the way to the Beis Hashachi. You had to reach up until your armpit in order to be able to use it, because the lock where you had to stick the key in was on the other side of the door. It wasn't on the side that you were able to open it from. So it was a little hole in the wall next to it. You had to stick your hand in the hole, reach around, and be able to open up the door that way. And the other key was very easy to use. The other one was Paseach Kevan, would open up very quickly. So again, he tore Kriya over the one who taught him that halacha, over the one who taught him that Mishnah. So all you need is just Mishnah Achas. So basically, we have a three-way machlokas, what kind of Rebbe we're talking about, right? Rabbi Meir says it has to be a Rebbe who taught you Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be Rov Chachmaso. And Rabbi Yossi says even a single Mishnah is good enough. They stand for each other and they tear Kriya and they tear Kriya on each other. But when it comes to Aveda and it's a father versus the Rebbe, that they're only going to take care of the Rebbe Mufak first. They're not going to take care of the father first. 6:55 today, Jean?
Yes.
I forgot about that. Rav Chissa asked Rav Huna, what if it's a Talmud that whose Rebbe needs him? What's the din then? Does the Rebbe still take such precedence over the father? So Rav Huna says, don't flatter yourself. You need me, I don't need you. So for 40 years, they didn't go, they were makbid on each other, they didn't go to visit each other. Rav Chissa sat 40 tainios because he upset Rav Huna. And Rav Huna sat 40 tainios because he suspected, he thought Rav Chissa was acting disrespectfully. So they both sat tainesim over the insults that they gave each other. Now, if they were sitting tainesim over the insults, why didn't they visit each other for 40 years? Why didn't they? So the Marsha deals with the 40 years there was a reason for the 40 years. The Marsha says that the 40 years are going on the Hemshech of the Gemara that anyone who's Mahar Achar Rabbo is Kilu Hirher Achar Shechina. So they took it as a punishment for themselves. That we know someone who's Mahar Achar Shechina, the Jews stayed in the Midbar for 40 years as a punishment for being Mahar Achar Shechina in terms of the Meraglim and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us with Eretz Yisrael. So they were Mahar Achar Rabbo. They decided that it was proper punishment for themselves. It was a self-imposed punishment not to see each other for 40 years. Itmar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan Halach Rabbi Yehuda, that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Vachem Rav Huna Amar Rav Sheshes Halach Rabbi Yossi. No, he says we pass like Rabbi Yossi that even if you were only taught one Mishnah. So Miyam Rav Yochanan Halach Yivam Rav Yochanan Halach Kstam Mishnah Tan Rabbi Shalom Del Chachma. But do we really say that? I thought we pass I thought Rabbi Yochanan says that Halach is like Kstam Mishnah, and the Kstam Mishnah says your Rebbe who is Malamid you Chachma. So it says we're not my Chachma. Rov Chachmaso. Chachma means Rov Chachmaso. That's a Rebbe Mufak. Someone who teaches you Rov Chachmaso. The Shulchan Aruch talks about the idea of getting smicha of Nitilas Rishus before Paskin Alacha and not Paskin Alacha B'fnei Rabbo in Yerodea Kuf Membeis. And the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to be Shol Rishus. It's a good idea to be Shol Rishus from Kol Rab Hosav HaMufakim, from all of your Rebbe Mufaks. So the Rama says, all of you, if Rebbe Mufak is defined as the guy who you learned Rov Chachmaso from, there can only be one. What do you mean? So he says you have to say that there's a different definition of Rebbe Mufak in different contexts. The Shach says, no, it's enough in a Rashi right here. Rov Chachmaso, Rashi says, in Mikra Mikra, in Mishnah Mishnah. Rov Chachmaso means in any given category. You can have a Rebbe Mufak of Mikra, a Rebbe Mufak of Mishnah, a Rebbe Mufak of Talmud. So Kol Rabbos of Mufak, it means in all the different areas that you studied. Tan Rabbanan, Ha'oskin B'Mikra Midah ein amida. Someone who studies Tanakh, it's good, but not so great. But Mishnah amida v'notan la'schar. If you study Mishnah, it's good and you get schar for it. Gemara in the Chamida Gadol Mizu. Studying Gemara, that's the best. Marsha asks, really, studying Mikra is so low down on the list? It's Talmud Torah. Why is it Mida Vein Mida? Why is it considered something that's so low down? So the Marsha says, because when do people study Mikra? Ben Chamish LeMikra. You're not even a Gadol yet. You're not even a Mitzvah V'yosi yet when you're studying Mikra. We assume by the time you're 10, you're already studying Mishnah. So since it's generally done by Ketanim, so that's why it's considered such a low level schar. The Torah's Chaim suggests no, that the part of the schar of Lima Torah is on the Amala Torah, and there's no Amelus. There's much less Amelus when it comes to Mikra, and therefore, though quantitatively you're studying, but qualitatively you're not doing all that you can when you're studying Mikra. Liolma v'rasl Mishnah Yosem in Gemara. A person should always, however, run to do Mishnah more than Gemara. So, frankly, Gemara Haguva Kasha Amrit be Gemara in the Chamida Gadol Mizu. On the one hand, you say by Gemara that it's the greatest. Vada Amrit Liolma. Then you tell me to run to Mishnah more so than Gemara. So which is it? Some Rabbi Yochanan ben Meir Rabbi Nishnas Mishnah Zu. This was taught in the days of Rabbi. Shafku Kulian Masnis and Vazlu Basar Gemara. In the days of Rabbi, everyone left Mishnah and started studying Gemara. Why? Because everyone had all these Tanaic teachings that they knew by heart, and that's what they would always study. They would repeat these teachings to make sure they knew it by heart. Rabbi was the first one that tried to categorize them and organize them. Now, in order to categorize and organize, it's not just good enough to know it by heart. You need to understand it and understand it well. So the main focus of study in the times of Rebbe was to focus on what they mean, on analyzing them so that they can know how they should arrange them. But because of that, because Rebbe saw that everyone was running to study Talmud in order to be able to categorize and arrange the Mishnayos, so Rebbe saw people were ignoring Mishnayos and people were going to forget. Rebbe had not yet written it down, he just organized it. It wasn't written down yet. So he saw people were going to forget the teachings of the Tanaim, so that's why he gave drushas. Wherever you see the weakness is where you give a drusha. So he gave drushas. He told people, yeah, run to do Mishnayos, Mishnayos, Mishnayos. Why? Because they weren't learning Mishnayos. Had they been learning Mishnayos, not Gemara, he would have given a drusha. Gemara. So my drush, what was the drush that taught us that Gemara is most important? What's the pasuk telling me? That's a reference to Talmid Chachamim whose averus pishogig are like they're done b'mezid. That's a reference to Talmid Aretz whose averus b'mezid are treated like shogig. Why is the Talmud Chachamim's aver b'shogig treated like a mezid? Because if you know how to learn, you should have learned better. You did it b'shogig because you didn't learn enough. You didn't clarify whatever you were taught. You didn't chazer enough. And that's exactly what our Mishnah is saying. When Rabbi Yehuda says you should be extra careful about Talmud. Why do you have to be extra careful about Talmud? But because your study of Talmud is likely to cause your averus b'shogig to be considered a mezid. Darsh Rabbi Rabbi Lai, Maidach Siv, Shimu Dvar Hashem Acharedim Al Devaro, Elu Talmid HaChachamim, Imru Achechem, Elu Bali Mikra. The word Achechem refers to people who study Mikra. Sonechem, Elu Bali Mishnah, Minadechem, Elu Ameh HaAretz. Shema Tamar Pasak Sivram Vatal Sikuyam. You might think all hope is lost, that all these people are not going to be able to see Mashiach and be able to rejoice in Mashiach's coming, because the Pasak says that Shimu Dvar Hashem Achredim Al Devaru Amru Achechem Sonechem Nadechem Manshmiach Bar Hashem V'nir B'simchaskam V'hein Yevoshu, that ultimately they're really going to be embarrassed. But you might think that they're not going to be able, there's not going to be any hope. You might think there's no hope. Tamalomer V'nir B'simchaskam. That's why he comes and tells me, no, we're going to see in the Simcha, we're going to see in the great Simcha Lasad Levo. Shema Tomer Yisrael Yevoshu, you might think, yeah, but Jews are going to have to suffer embarrassment, humiliation. Tam Lomer Veheim Yevoshu. That's why he has the word Veheim Yevoshu. Of the Kuchavim Yevoshu, Yisrael Yismuch. Of the Kuchavim are going to be embarrassed. Jews are going to have great Simcha. Okay, there's a lot more to discuss. It's Kishma Kadav. We'll pick up a new parak on Kabbalah Satorah this morning.